Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This past week and today and for the next 3 or 4 weeks, our epistle lessons are coming from the book of 1 Timothy. Understanding who wrote that book and why they wrote it and to whom they wrote it will help us to understand a little bit better what the texts have to say to us. So indulge me while I give you a quick rundown, a little bit of history. Paul had left his protege, Timothy, to lead the church at Ephesus. Ephesus, at the time, was the second largest city in the world, 250,000 people. It was the second largest, not the largest. Paul had spent some time there, he had started a church, and now he wants to go on his mission over into what is now northern Greece, and so he left Timothy in charge. And after he left and got into northern Greece, he sent letters to Timothy giving him instruction and advice. Now, this may be a little bit of a stretch, I suppose, but I think there are some similarities between Ephesus and Emmanuel. Ephesus was started by Paul on one of his missionary journeys. Emmanuel was started by a Pastor Doring, who was a circuit rider in the late 1800s. After installing Timothy as pastor, Paul left him in charge and continued on his missions. After establishing Emmanuel, Pastor Doring continued to find and found many other churches here in the valley. When Paul was continuing his mission, he sent letters of encouragement and instruction to Timothy back in Ephesus. Almost 6 years ago, Pastor Metzler installed me here as your pastor, and both he and Pastor Lucky sent many emails of instruction and advice to me. I received some advice also from members of a particular member of the congregation, no longer here. You might wonder what that person had to say to me. He said, "You got to watch these people. They're all related to each other and they've all been there forever." Our reading today from chapter 1 of Timothy, our reading last week came from the first chapter of Timothy where we heard that Christ had came into the world to save sinners. We heard that Paul saying he was the chief of sinners because he had persecuted the church. But then we all kind of agreed that we might also maintain that same title as chief of sinners because, well, you know all your sins, I know all of my sins. And so we closed with the words of that hymn, "Chief of Sinners Though I Be." In the first chapter, Paul also addresses some heresies impacting the church. I haven't seen any heresies in this congregation, but based on the advice I've been given, I'm keeping an eye out. In our epistle lesson for today, Paul begins by giving some instruction in proper worship. He goes through, this is a letter written to his protege Timothy, who's now leading a congregation, and he's giving him some advice. And so he says, here are some things that you should do. By extension, he's speaking to us as well. Some of the things that Paul told Timothy to do, we still do in this congregation today. Most Lutheran churches do. In the first two verses, Paul says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people." Lots of Lutheran pastors begin the prayer of the church by saying, "Let us pray for all the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs." And in verse 2, Paul also urges us to pray for the kings who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Frequently, one of the petitions that in the prayer of the church include a prayer for the president, for Congress, for local and state officials. So the question then becomes, if we are supposed to pray for all people, how do we do that? I've noticed over the years that Lutherans are not terribly comfortable with prayer, especially public prayer. I've had people come to me and say, please don't ask me to pray in public. I'm not good at that. I don't want to do it. It scares me. So they leave it up to the pastor. Rarely do I go someplace where if a prayer is appropriate, where I'm not asked to pray because everyone else is afraid to do that. Perhaps D.L. Moody said it best. He was an American evangelist in the 19th century. He said, I'd rather be able to pray than a great preacher. Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach. He only taught them how to pray. Since such kneel mail is our only way to communicate with God, it is something that we need to be reminded about and we need to practice often. So have you considered your prayer life lately? Are you comfortable with it, or could it be better? I have come up with a few things that you might consider doing to refine at least your prayer life. First of all, speak to God as if you were speaking to a spouse, a brother, sister, close friend, or a parent. Long, eloquent prayers with fancy-sounding words are not necessary. Remember, God knows what we want and need before we pray. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. But do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask. God doesn't give 5 stars for a long and eloquent prayer and 1 star for a short prayer that is quick and over with in a hurry. I know there are some people that have a spiritual gift of public prayer, and indeed God hears their prayers. A friend of ours is known for her ability to do just that kind of prayer. She can stand up and give an extemporaneous prayer that competes in time with the sermon at times. And she uses all of that religiously correct terminology. And it sounds to us very effective. But God says that's not necessary. God also hears that simple prayer of a child. A child who might say, thank you, Jesus, for this food. Remember that we are God's children, and who here would ignore the request of their own children? God hears and answers the simplest prayer. And the second prayer that you might use, in the verse following the Matthew 6 that I quoted above, Jesus says, pray like this, and he teaches them the Lord's Prayer as we know it today. So when you're in doubt, when you're not sure, the Lord's Prayer covers everything. That's an easy, simple prayer to do. There's another outline of a prayer that you can use that is pretty easy to remember. It's called praying the acts. A stands for acclamation. C stands for confession. T stands for thanksgiving. S stands for supplication. A stands for acclamation. An acclamation is an eager expression of approval or praise of God. Could be as simple as starting a prayer with God of creation. Or it could be more complicated. Lord, we praise you that you have created us all, and we are in awe of your beauty and complexity. A stands for acclamation. C stands for confession. Confession is a formal statement acknowledging that one is guilty of something. In this case, it would normally be an acknowledgement of our sin and our sinful nature. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, have not always cared for your creation as we ought, you might pray. T stands for thanksgiving. That's simply giving thanks. Lord, we thank you for the joy and security your creation gives us. We thank you for this day of rain or the food we are about to receive or some other blessing that you would like to give thanks for. S stands for supplication. These now become our specific requests, our petitions of asking God for things. You might ask God to bless us for the food that we are about to consume. We might say or ask for comfort in a difficult time. We might ask that God would direct us as we live out our lives. So praying the acts, A for acclamation, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, S for supplication. There's another one I came across called the five-fingered prayer. You've always got your hand with you, and it will remind you of how you might pray. We'll start with the thumb. It's the closest to your heart, and so you would pray for the people who are closest to you, your family and your friends and coworkers. And then next is the index finger. It's used to give directions. And so we would pray on that finger that we teachers and doctors and first responders would be cared for and do good things for us. And then we come to the third finger. It's the tallest finger. And that reminds us to pray for those people who are in authority, for government officials, for state and local people who govern us, that they might do so in a just and fair fashion. Then comes the ring finger. It's the weakest finger. Anybody who plays the piano would know that. Those are the weak people we want to pray for would be the sick and the homebound and those people who are most in need. And finally, we come to that little finger. It's the smallest. And when you come to the little finger, you pray for yourself and your own needs. In the text for today, Paul urges us to offer prayers and supplications and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people. And so I encourage you to several times each day say, could be a short prayer, simple as you get on the road and head down the road and you say, Lord, protect me and all those people who are out here with me. Keep us safe. It may be as simple as, Lord, what do I do in this situation? Or it may be a quick prayer when you leave home or when you get back home, a prayer of thanks for keeping you safe on that trip. And there's one more thing. I would suggest that you know what it is that you are praying for, as suggested by this short closing story. There was an evangelist who had completed a service and he had invited people to come forward that he might pray for them. And so about halfway through the line of people who were coming in to be prayed for stood a rather tall and intimidating man. And when he came before the evangelist said, "And what would you like me to pray for, young man?" The young man, in a somewhat subdued voice, said, "Reverend, I need you to pray for my hearing." The evangelist quickly placed his hands over the man's ears and looked at the man squarely in the eye and prayed a fervent and eloquent prayer about restoring this man's hearing. Then he looked the young man in the eye and said, in a somewhat loud voice, "How's your hearing now?" The man loudly replied, "I don't know yet, preacher. My hearing ain't until this Wednesday at the courthouse." Know what it is you're praying for. Pray frequently. Amen. Now may the peace of God that comes through prayer and supplication keep your faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.